Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ADT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew with ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm here zooming in with Rosalie Brown in lovely LA. And I'm in lovely Grass Valley where the leaves are popping out. My fig tree, I'm looking out my window and my fig tree is starting to pop. And my maple, I'm very excited. I love this time of year.
I didn't know you had a fig tree. Do you have stuff that, actually, I mean, can you harvest it? Can you eat the
figs? We got a lot of figs. It was planted by the previous owner, and it's pretty tall. It's probably about 30 feet tall. So, yeah, we get a lot of figs out of it.
That's crazy.
And our dogs like to eat them, and, yeah.
Okay, let me just stop you right there.
And they plant them all over the yard. I found a nice tall one somewhere else on the property that I recently moved. So I put it in a better spot. So it's
the ecosystem in full bloom, right? So.
Yeah.
So when I first returned to California, I was down in a pretty beautiful town called San Clemente, and the house had a really beautiful fig tree, and it was kind of an interesting landscape. Anyway, this huge tree that just dropped these figs just constantly, I mean, like all the time.
Yeah.
And if I didn't go and clean those off, the dog, oh no, the dog loves the taste of figs, apparently. And,
oh, they do.
And
yeah.
It does all kinds of fun stuff to their digestive system.
To the GI tract.
So I was like, so that was one of my number one things. Every day, I'd get up with a cup of coffee, and I'd walk around the yard, and I would literally pick up all the figs that had fallen because I was trying to keep on top of that issue. So
when
you said, oh, yeah, somehow another tree got planted in the yard, I'm like, oh, trust me.
Yeah.
I totally speak your language without having to get into all of it. I get it. Well, that's great.
It's a circle of life. Yeah.
Fig trees are cool. It's nice. That's great.
It's pretty. It's a very, very, very pretty time of year. It's I like springtime. We were actually down in the Pacifica this weekend though for my daughter's roommate's birthday party, so that was kind of fun. But we've kind of adopted her, and she's recently lost her father, and her mom's been kind of in and out of the picture, so. We've taken her in under our wings. So my sisters threw a big birthday party for her in Pacifica, and oh my gosh, it was so cold.
I saw the pictures.
A high of 55 and foggy, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why we moved up to the lovely Grass Valley, because I get that seasonal disorder kind of thing when I'm in the fog for too long. So yeah, it was like 4 days of nothing but no sunshine, just fog. Like it gets a little old. It's really pretty for a while. I love to visit, but it is fun to visit. I don't miss living in it. Yeah.
It is fun to visit. Yeah, I saw those pictures on social media, and I was like, oh, he was cold, and he was bundled up in a jacket. I just know it. Right away, I was like, I know he was cold.
It was puffy coat weather.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, San Francisco, kind of the peninsula is like that most of the time up until summer, right? So.
Yeah, and even summer is...
It can be, right?
It can be bad. It can be really bad. So, yeah, I like the fact that I live in Nevada County because it is so pretty and it's so sunny, and we see the sun so many days comparatively. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Well, so it's been good. But, yeah, I mean, what we can kind of segue in with our topic, because that was something that it's been a little disconcerting because it has been so lovely and we haven't seen enough rain. And I woke up the other day, and most people did, woke up the other day on, what day was that? I guess it was Tuesday. And a smell of smoke in the air. And it just brought back all the PTSD of being evacuated last year and all the threats of fire. Fortunately, it was just a prescribed burn down in Forest Hill. But it's kind of scary. So we thought we'd talk about that today because, you know, now is the time of year. If you haven't already started, now is definitely a time to get started and really get your house and your defensible space up to par. And we thought we'd kind of go over, you found a really great article from the Fire Safe Council, right, that you found this?
I actually found it. It's the Nevada County. It's put out by Nevada County. And you can, it's their fire season guide. Okay, so if you are interested in kind of getting more information on that, and we talk about it at the very end again, but MyNevadaCounty.com has got this resource and also some other things to look at for primarily for being ready for this, and then also they have some information on what to do kind of in the event of the most likely planned power outages. And you know, you can expect those with the power situation. The power grid is still, I don't know that much has improved from last year, so
they've been doing a lot of work, but yeah, okay. This year's going to be
probably some more of those.
The forecast is not good for this year's fire season from what I've been reading, so yeah, I mean it's dire. Once again, another year of drought, so yeah. And actually, we should probably, we'll put a link to this on our Facebook page when we post this up. Yep. But one thing, another thing we should put a link to is, and I want to just talk about this right away before I forget, because it's one thing that I my wife turned me onto this, you know, many years ago. But the Code Red, signing up for Code Red. I don't know about you, but I don't have a landline anymore. I don't have a physical phone in my home anymore. We rely on our cell phones. And in this day and age, when you don't have a landline where the emergency services know where you are and you're just relying on your cell phone, they don't know where that cell phone is, so they can't, you know, let you know that you have to be evacuated. But if you sign up on Code Red, you can tell them where your residence is and they will be able to notify you. And I just, you know, I have flashbacks to the Paradise Fire and how a lot of people had issues with being notified. So do everything you can. I mean, I would say that the reason why I wanted to start the show with this is because it is one of the things that does seem to slip through the cracks. And I've talked to a lot of people about it and they're like, oh yeah, I've been meaning to do that. Do that right now. Sign up for Code Red. And you can go to mynevadacounty.com/OES. And that you can sign up from there. And I guess we should actually, we'll put a link for this as well in our when we post this on Facebook. But definitely sign up for this, because I know, you know, again, talking about PTSD, having embers falling on my backyard from last year's fire in the South Yuba River Canyon, that kind of was a wake-up call. And you know, we actually evacuated. We didn't have to, but we were just concerned, so we did. But yeah, with the Code Red, they've let, you know, kept us abreast of what was going on. So definitely sign up for it.
A good resource. But
it's a great resource, and it's simple. I mean, it just takes minutes to do. I say that, and I think Betty actually set me up, but that's her role in our family.
I mean, Let's be honest. You tend to rely on females in your life to take care of different
things.
I rely
on people that have a good sense of things to do right now. The nitty gritty. I'm not so good at the nitty gritty. I'm a more big picture person.
You are a great planner.
My head's in the clouds.
It's fun to talk about things with you, and then when it gets down to time to actually execute
implementation.
Them,
yeah.
That's where like the people on your team have to step in. So I'm sure that Betty could. If anyone has any questions, I can always send them to Betty. She'll know. I won't do that to her because she's my friend. But I could see why. Like, she does a lot of the. She keeps the dream going. Okay, let's just put it that way.
She does. She keeps the wheels rolling and the trains on time.
That's
she
correct.
Definitely, and the kids vaccinated the whole bit. Yeah.
There you go.
So let's get into the nitty gritty. So this is a really good infogram on like page 3 of this thing, talking about what you can do. So we've talked about defensible space before. Everybody pretty much knows about defensible space, right? You want to keep 100 feet around your house, clear of vegetation, any kind of dry vegetation, minimum. And any plants that are within the proximity of your house, make sure that they're well irrigated and not flammable. You know, you don't want manzanita up against your house. But there are some other hardscape things. There's some things that you can do for your home that are, you know, we may not really think about. One of the big ones, and I don't see this very often up here, but, you know, if you have a house that's got wood shake shingles on the roof, you should really think about replacing those. There was a time when they were spraying them with fire retardants and things, but those wear out, you know. I mean, a good 5-10 years, and that fire retardant's pretty much null and void. So if you do have a shake roof, you know, think about getting that taken care of. Now, you know, especially now, things are scary. The thing that they really wanted to point out in this article or this infogram is that the majority of homes lost in fires aren't necessarily burnt the majority aren't burnt from the fire line reaching their home. They're burnt because of flying embers and flying sticks and flying leaves that are on fire. And you get enough of those and they can light your shake roof up like that. I mean, if anybody's used, I've used shake for kindling and it goes up right away. You know, it's a really good kindling source. So it doesn't take much for it to start to combust. Another thing you want to take a look around is in your gutters. If you don't have some kind of cap on your gutter, like I don't have caps on my gutters, I don't have the leaf guards or anything like that, clean out your gutters, because as the season progresses, you probably have leaves and needles. I know I've got a ton. I've got to do that right now. Clean them out. Get all those needles out, because as the season progresses, they just get dry and they become kindling. And what happens with those little embers that fall on your roof? They get stuck in the gutters. They roll down the roof and get stuck in the gutters. They ignite the debris that's inside your gutter. And then next thing you know, your house is on fire. So
well,
definitely
as,
take
as
care
we
of that.
Know, as we know, like if you've ever gone, you know, camping, which I know you have, or been out in the wilds and we're having a safe burn, right? An intentional fire. What's the first thing you grab to kind of get it going? I mean, I don't camp now, but pine needles and little baby, whatchamacallums? What are those?
Pine cones. And sticks with leaves on them. Yeah. Things that are very friable. Yeah.
Right.
Very flammable. So yeah, definitely go around and take care of that. And, you know, it's not a bad idea to actually put some kind of protection on it. There's a lot of companies up here that do that. Or you can do it yourself. That is a DIY thing. You can get like a metal screen that's relatively easy to install. And it's a little, if you've got pine needles, it's a little problematic just because the holes are a little bigger than the pine needles. But there's some products out there that work. Another one that has come up, and it's in all of our new, you know, building codes is roof, attic, and crawl space vents have to comply with new regulations. And one thing that you can do to just modify the vents that you have now is put in screens that have an eighth inch hole. So eighth inch screen, as opposed to the majority of the time we just use quarter inch screen, which means that every, you know, little square is a quarter inch hole between the wires. Quarter inch is big enough for an ember to fly through and get into your attic space. An eighth inch hole is really tiny, so it will stop the majority of those embers. There's still the possibility of an ember getting in there, but it's much less likely, like, you know, compounded less. I mean, you're not talking half as much, because an eighth of an inch is half of, or two times eighth is a quarter inch. You're talking probably, you know, five or six times less likely to have that occur, 10 times less likely to have that occur, just because the holes are so small. So go around, check your roof vents, check your crawl space vents, your basement vents. Something that's really another one of those DIY things that's pretty easy to do. You can go to any of the hardware stores and pick up screen, or just pick up all new grates. You can pick up new ones, which might be a little easier. The other things that kind of, this is one that I really found interesting, because it's something that we don't really think about. You know, it's our deck. Our decks have the ability to ignite. And, you know, you want to keep any kind of debris, any kind of, especially any kind of pine needles or branches, pine cones, that sort of thing, off of your deck. Because, again, they can ignite pretty easy. A 2x6 is going to take a little bit more to ignite than a pine cone or something like that. So it'll take a while for it to light. So keep it clean. The thing that we really don't think about is the stuff that we store underneath our decks. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone out to people's homes and, you know, seen gas tanks, propane tanks, paint, those sort of things underneath the deck. And I mean, you're just asking for trouble there. Just asking for trouble. Because as soon as those things get hot enough or potentially ignite, now all of a sudden your deck's on fire. And if there's a hot enough fire for your, it'll be hot enough if the gasoline or propane lights to light your deck on fire, and then your house is gone.
Right.
So make sure you don't have a lot of stuff like that. Even, you know, cushions, umbrellas, things like that can easily ignite. you might want to think of a better place to put it than underneath your deck. Find a place underneath your house, someplace in a shed or something like that where ambers can't get into them and ignite them. So it's one of those little things that you may not think about, but that happens all the time. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen that in people's homes. Paint, too. It's like, what are you doing leaving paint underneath your house?
I'm familiar with the, a place I lived, there was paint stored in the closet that held the water heater. And I was like, no, nope, that's out right now. That's not gonna
not a good idea.
Nope. You know, you don't have to be a genius to know that that's not going to be, that could end badly. So, I mean, a lot of it is like common sense, but I think that like during the winter months or even when it's cooler, maybe like we're just not thinking about it. You just put things away, you're kind of shoving them out of the way, and it's good time to go around your property and just kind of look around and double check that you're not inviting trouble, because you never know when it's going to happen, especially, you know, Nevada County, it's a beautiful place to live, and you're in the trees, literally. So
that's where we move here, right?
The risk is implied like every day, right? So you got to mitigate your risk as much as possible. I know. That's one thing that I definitely miss is living in the forest was beautiful, but I do not miss that fear. That fear, really, when fire season would hit or you'd smell smoke in the air and you'd go, oh my God, what is that?
Or
even worse, maybe, is you would notice it and you could notice it by your breath, you know, like how hard it was to breathe before you even found out there's a fire. But you'd go outside and you'd know. And it's always kind of like, oh my God, where is that? You know? And so that's scary stuff, you know? Really.
Yeah, it's something to take very seriously. And these are ways that you can mitigate the potential problems for your own home. Yeah. And, you know, once again, the majority of homes are not burnt because the fire line reached you. It's because the flying embers that get up into the sky, get up into the air, and that fall into your house, those are things that are igniting it. And, you know, all the stuff that I've read, you know, fires are getting hotter because they've got more fuel. More trees are dying with climate change, and the bark beetles are attacking the trees. And with those harder fires, you have a higher loft ability, potential lofting of those embers. And they're seeing more and more fire tornadoes, which are, you know, when the winds start to circulate, and then they can carry embers up and they can travel for tens of miles. So, you know, even though you may not have a fire very close with those fire tornadoes, they can carry those embers really far. So, you know, these are things you can do.
I mean, terrifying. Think about it. God.
It's scary, but there's things that we can do that are in our control that we can help not eliminate, but mitigate this potentiality, right?
Talk me off the ledge, Andrew. Talk me off the ledge, because I just saw a mobile firestorm, like a tornado in the air, and I'm like, stop saying horrible things like that. I'd rather talk about your dogs and the fig tree than a fire NATO. Like, that's scary. Yeah.
They're scary, but, you know, I mean, they're happening. But these are things you can take care of. So some of the other things you can do, you know, if there is, before you evacuate, one of the things they do recommend too is closing all your windows, because embers can get through an open window. And, you know, let's be honest, when do these fires happen? They happen during the summertime. So you might have your windows open. So make sure you go around the house before you evacuate and close all the windows. Or if you're starting to smell smoke and there is one that's, you know, maybe you're not evacuating, but you're, you know, like we weren't, our area wasn't a mandatory evacuation. We're close to Conant Park. And one of my employees was over on Newtown. He had to be evacuated, but we didn't. But that was just a couple miles away and we could see the embers falling. But we closed we closed everything up and left. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have all the windows closed. You just want to mitigate any potentiality of these embers getting inside the structure. The other thing they talk about is replacing the T111 siding. That's the plywood that has like a fire retardant on it. Doesn't last forever. You know, it will eventually go out. That's a pretty big task, though, replacing your siding. But they say this is an inexpensive way of dealing with it. Whatever. If you have the ability to replace your T111, put in some concrete siding, put in the engineered lumber. It looks like wood siding, but it's actually a rock. It's a concrete type of product, and it's non-flammable. So that stuff's bulletproof, and that's pretty much standard these days.
Can I ask for a second that material?
Yeah.
So from a perspective of, let's get off the danger side and let's look at like comfort inside the home, does that type of siding have any impact on, like, you know me, I'm always worried about being cool when it's hot out. And when I think of concrete, I think of like, oh, cool. So
yeah.
does it have any impact on, like, you know, what would you say, insulation, or like kind of anything to do with like the, how you're able to keep temperature your home? Okay. So
no,
not
it's on the outside.
Anyway.
It's on the outside of your envelope. So you've got, you know, when you do replace siding, typically what you'll do now is you wrap the house with a Tyvek type of material, which then seals the house, from moisture, and then the siding goes on the outside of that.
So this is the outside blanket you said.
You know the layers you have between you and that siding is, you've got your sheetrock, then you've got your insulation, and then you got your bubble, your wrap, and then you've got your siding. So yeah, it's not
going to do anything for that. It's just going to keep your home less likely to be flammable. I mean, as much as that's possible, right? I mean,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, short of a steel home, you're not really, you know, you're still gonna have the potential on it. It's for a concrete home, but you know, concrete homes are a whole other thing because we live in California, so we don't really want a concrete home. But those are some of the things that you can do. So you know, just to reiterate, to kind of go over things, check your gutters, make sure they're cleaned up. If you can, put gutter guards on it. Check your roof coverings. Make sure, if you got shake roof, get rid of it, but more than likely you already have. If you got a deck, make sure it's clean. Make sure you don't have any debris on top of it, and take a look at underneath, because you definitely don't want to be storing things under there that have the possibility of burning. I know, yeah, like our old house, that's where I kept my firewood. Probably wouldn't do that today. You know, now that
I mean, not that that's
that was
flammable,
10 years ago, but
right?
Yeah. three to five cords of firewood underneath my deck, not so smart. Seemed like a good idea at the time, but anyway, moving on. You know, make sure you don't have things underneath your deck that can potentially catch fire from an ember. Check all your attic vents, all your roof vents, all your basement vents, crawl space vents, and if they don't have eighth inch screens, replace them with eighth inch screening to keep embers out of your home. Make sure to close your windows if you do get evacuated. And even if you're not evacuated and you've got a fire close by, close your windows, turn the air conditioning on, do something. But it might be a PSP, so gosh only knows. But you may just have to suffer or do like we did, go down to Roseville to a hotel. And with that, that's pretty much, the last thing you should really do is sign up for Code Red. Definitely. Sign up for Code Red, and that you can do that at mynevadacounty.com/OES. So with that, that's our show. We've got a new phone number for you guys. You can reach us. So, well, let's turn that around. So if you have any questions in regards to plumbing, electrical, heating, and air, you can contact ABT. You can contact us at ABT at 530-230-9092. That number again, 230-9092. And you can also find us on the web at Easy as ABT. You can find us on Facebook. And I guess that's it.
I think we covered it all this week.
I think we did. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.